Welcome to Rams Up, a Los Angeles Rams podcast. We are a proud member of the Pigskin Podcast Network. We cover other SoCal sports news of interest, but we're mostly about your Los Angeles Rams. I'm your host, Mark. Let's get to it. Greetings, Ram fans. This is episode 24 of season 2, our 101st episode of Rams Up, your Los Angeles Rams podcast. Today, however, we're taking a turn. We finally have our much-promised Los Angeles Dodgers episode. We're going to get through some Ram news up front here, and then we're going to jump into over an hour of discussion about the Los Angeles Dodgers, our Los Angeles Dodgers. I have Paul Walia, our big Jackie Robinson fan, on board, as well as Tom Quartz, who, much like me, grew up in Southern California playing baseball and listening to and watching the Dodgers. We're going to get caught up on the Dodgers. It's a good time of year to do that before Rams training camp starts. And I should say, before we get into that, I'm no Dodger expert anymore. I'm going to try to facilitate this conversation as best I can. Paul and Tom, they're the smart ones on the Dodgers. We'll see what they have to say about the roster, some of the decisions Dave Roberts has been making, predictions for the rest of the season, all that good stuff. So that's coming up. And by the way, you can find that on our YouTube channel, the video, specifically just the Dodger segment, on our YouTube channel. If you can't find our YouTube channel, go to our website. We've jacked it up a little bit recently. There's a link to our YouTube channel that's ramsup.com. And when you get to that YouTube channel, please subscribe to it. Really appreciate it. Let's get through some Ram news. Not a lot going on, really. A lot of articles out there about who is going to be the breakout Ram star, who's going to be the Ram that makes the Pro Bowl, who has never made it before. Lots of interesting conversations. The one news that came out recently, OBJ claims he played the second half of the 2021 season with a torn ACL. And I think a lot of people are very skeptical that that is the truth. But, you know, I think it's very possible that it is true. I know people have torn their ACL and didn't even know it, and actually had some athletic ability with a torn ACL. It is a little bit hard to believe that he could play at an NFL level with a torn ACL. Pretty amazing if it's true. Take OBJ for his word on that. Hopefully his recovery is going well, better than last time anyways with the Browns, and he'll be back on board with the Rams, hopefully contributing to another Super Bowl run. Rams announced their training camp dates July 29th through August 10th at UC Irvine. Beautiful area. 11 of those are open to the public. I'll be down there for one of them. I did that a few years back with my special assistant. It was a blast. And we'll be doing it again. Not sure on the date, but we will be down there for sure. You know, and I think it really just sunk in the other day. Bobby Wagner is a Los Angeles Ram. Sounds so good. The big news in the sports world from a Los Angeles perspective, of course, is UCLA and USC leaving the Pac-12 for the Big Ten. I'm kind of torn about that. I mean, I like to see UCLA and USC do well. I like to see them get national recognition, and this will help them in that pursuit, but it's still kind of sad. Pac-12 basically dissolving before our eyes. And I also feel bad for great programs like the University of Oregon and Washington. Could they be coming along to the Big Ten as well? Maybe they need to rename that conference. And then there's the golden goose still sitting out there, Notre Dame. Independent as far as football goes. The Big Ten must want them badly. USC coming over to the Big Ten, that makes the Big Ten Conference much more attractive to Notre Dame. Are they next? And if that happens, lots of rivalries at risk here. What's going to happen to that Stanford-Notre Dame rivalry and the USC-Notre Dame rivalry? What's going to happen to the Rose Bowl? It's a new world we're living in. UCLA and USC making the move they had to. And you know what this means? It's going to put even more travel stress on the Pac, I almost said Pac-12, on UCLA and USC traveling to the Midwest. They'll be playing in the 9 o'clock Pacific Standard Time slot. That's challenging for a young college football team, something the SEC never has to deal with. Their travel across time zones is very minimal. UCLA and USC, they could be playing at Rutgers. So it's a good day for UCLA and USC, I guess. But be careful what you wish for, especially from a travel perspective. In the long run, I think it's good for both schools. I wish the best for these other Pac-12 schools, so I really feel bad for them. But it's the world we live in. We're going to have two tiers. But does Rutgers belong in that top tier and Oregon doesn't? Something's got to give in that regard. I wonder if the Big Ten would trade out Rutgers for Oregon if they could. Nothing against Rutgers, but I just don't think they're at that level. It'll be interesting to see how this pans out over the next weeks, months, and years. College football changing before our very eyes. And a lot of people say California football's weak. It's not California football that's weak. It's California recruiting and Pac-12 recruiting that's weak. Especially the California schools. They just have trouble retaining all of the California talent. You look at the Oregon State, Washington, Arizona rosters, 30-40% of them at least coming from California high schools. This move to the Big Ten will help UCLA and USC in that regard, I believe. So coming up next, our Dodger segment, good hour of good stuff. I want to qualify something. We talk about Mookie Betts coming back. In the Colorado Rockies series, we recorded this Sunday morning, and then lo and behold, Mookie's in the lineup. So catch that air during the video. Sorry about that. Kind of unavoidable. Always trying to catch a moving target with these teams, especially baseball when they play every day. But good stuff. Hopefully you stick around for that. And again, check out the YouTube channel. We have some good graphics on there that will help you follow the conversation along a little better. Back in a minute. The action never ends at DraftKings Sportsbook, especially this summer. Right now, DraftKings Sportsbook is giving new customers a risk-free bet for up to $1,000. And looking for something to bet on? Look no further than the Dodgers in the month of July. They get the Cubs, Cardinals, Angels, and Giants all coming up. It doesn't get much better than that. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code TPPN. Make your first deposit and get a risk-free bet up to $1,000. That's promo code TPPN only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. Welcome back, everybody. This is Rams Up, and we have a special episode for you, as we've been promising for, it seems like, a month, a Dodger episode. This is going to be all about the Los Angeles Dodgers. If you check out the podcast, we'll have some other Ram news on that, but this video cast is strictly the Dodgers, and I have Paul Walia, as you can see from his background, sort of a hardcore Dodger fan. And Tom Kortz, he grew up in Southern California, so he's a Dodger fan as well. How are you doing, Tom? What have you been up to?
Hey, doing well. Just trying to get through these dog days of the NFL and, get ready for the season, save up the energy. And obviously following the first place Dodgers and excited about their season as well.
And you, Paul, you're an interesting case, a New Yorker that's a Dodger fan. So how have you been? What are you doing for the fourth?
Well, I'm here in New York, the real home of the Dodgers, right? Brooklyn, before they moved to L.A. Just working on my barbecue skills. Already had a barbecue yesterday, firing up the grill for today later on, and then getting everything ready for the 4th of July. So I'm excited. This is the last month of football. This is really the only football-free month that we have left.
Yes, and by the way, I should mention I grabbed my two free tickets to training camp. I'll be down there in Irvine. At least that's the plan. I got two tickets to go to that. If it works out, I'll be there for one day at least. So let's get back to the Dodgers. I did the reverse curse a few weeks ago. I mentioned that the Dodgers were in trouble, that middle of the lineup just going to crap, really. But they have bounced back. So we'll talk through in a minute. We're going to talk through their entire roster, talk about, you know, our opinions on what they're doing right and what they're doing wrong. But let's get started with, I'll start with you, Tom. How did you become a Dodger fan? Probably pretty simple, probably pretty much like how I did.
Yeah, I mean, just growing up in Southern California and just, you know, obviously gravitate toward the Dodgers. I really grew up with that 70s team that was, you know, had so much consistency of their roster. It's not like these days where, you know, things turn over. Although the core of the Dodgers these days has had some pretty good consistency. But back in the day, you know, with our consistent infield and all the pitchers that we had and everything else, it was a good time to be a Dodger fan.
And you know, what is your
Dodger fan? Sorry.
What is your earliest memory of being a kid growing up in Southern California with respect to the Dodgers?
Oh, I mean, just being out. We went to the ballpark all the time, and just being out there. That was really the enjoyment. It was just being out there watching them, and just the ambiance of a Major League Baseball stadium is so different from any other sports event. You know, certainly the indoor events and the hockey and the basketball, and obviously the much larger venue of a football stadium. But there's something big and intimate, but about a baseball stadium and that environment that's so unique. And the casualness of it and sort of the waiting for something big to happen and, you know, kind of on every pitch. So it's just that memory of being in the stadium that I never could shake or ever would want to shake.
And Paul, can you tell us how you became a Dodgers fan without saying the two words Jackie Robinson?
Well, the whole reason I became a Dodger fan was Jackie Robinson. I was going to Catholic school in Brooklyn. This was like in kindergarten. And I remember we had gone back to where the rectory was, and the office where the head brother, basically his office, on the wall was just all pictures of the Dodgers. And I saw, you know, pictures of Duke Snyder. And apparently in our neighborhood of Brooklyn, the Dodgers were just like, you know, just icons. So we were talking a little bit. I asked him a little bit about, you know, who are those guys? And he told us it was me and two of my friends. And then when we started talking, the one person that stood out was Jackie Robinson. So I actually asked my mom to take me to the library, and there was a book called My First Book on Jackie Robinson, I kid you not, in the library, and I read it. It was about 8 pages, and 2 of the pages were the exchange between Pee Wee Reese and Jackie Robinson, where he put his arm around him. He said, "Yeah, Jackie Robinson is my friend." So I was hooked. As you get older, obviously you learn more about Jackie Robinson and the Dodgers, and I just fell in love with the Dodgers. Coincidentally, right here in New York, 77-78 World Series against the Yankees. We got to watch it on TV. I actually cried when the Dodgers lost both. But 1981, Fernando Mania, I experienced it firsthand at 12 years old. It was incredible. And then they won the World Series that year. And ever since then, it's just been Jackie Robinson and the Dodgers. And I'm very, very lucky to have a hero like Jackie Robinson that not only can I look up to in sports, but also the way he lived his life in terms of public service. So, you know, just in long and short, and that's just basically why I love the Dodgers. And one thing about, like you were saying about the stadium, when you go to a baseball game, it's almost like going to like a giant family gathering. It's sort of laid back, you know, and it's like everybody there, you know, is your neighbor. And I really like that feel. But, you know, one of the things, first time I went to Dodger Stadium, I was just like, I felt like I was at home. For some reason, I felt like I was home. And every time we visit California, I always take the kids out to Dodger Stadium. And I've you know, they love it as well. And it's been amazing. I always pick the Friday night family firework games. If anybody's ever had a chance to go to those, it's absolutely amazing. So love being a Dodger fan.
Good stuff. Yeah. I mean, my how I became a Dodger fan, it's almost automatic if you grow up playing baseball in Southern California, which is what I did. You know, the movie Sandlot?
Yes.
That is kind of similar to, you know, 2 or 3 years of my life. I mean, obviously it wasn't as glamorous as in the movie, but that's what we did. We went down to the local park and played baseball. If there were four of us, it was over the line. If there was 12 of us, we'd play a game where you can't hit it to right field, that type of thing. but I'd have to say my mom actually made me a bigger Dodger fan than I would have been otherwise. She grew up in Philadelphia, and when we moved to California, she just became a diehard Dodger fan and the biggest Vin Scully fan on the planet. My dad couldn't really care about baseball, didn't care a hoot, but my mom never missed a game, never on the radio, on TV. She was always there. And I'll tell you about one of my earliest memories. I don't know if you guys did this. When I played boys baseball, we had, I think, once or twice a year, the bus trips to the stadium. And, you know, the whole league or whoever wanted to go anyways, we'd wear our uniforms, I think just our jerseys, and we pile into buses and go to the stadium. And I just don't remember. I think that's how the first time I went to a game might have been on a boys baseball bus. And that's one of my earliest memories. And as far as great memories, I was at the 1974 NL Championship Series game against the Pirates. The game Willie Stargell hit a home run that landed about 12 seats away from us. And I still to this day cannot believe my dad let my mom pull us out of school to go to a Dodger game. But but she did. We played hooky and went to Dodger Stadium. I think it was a Wednesday.
You know, that scene in the Sandlot when he rounds third base and then the next scene is him wearing a Dodger uniform. I still get goosebumps when I watch
that. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And but you know, growing up being a Dodger fan, you couldn't have, it was everywhere. So you had the baseball bunch when Johnny Bench and Tommy Lasorda was the dugout wizard, that show. We watched the baseball bunch. There was a show, an episode of the Munsters where Branch Rickey recruits Herman Munster to play for the Dodgers.
All right, right.
So it was everywhere. There was, you know, you just couldn't escape it.
Okay, so let's move on to, at the end of this, I'm going to have some, my first and four questions for you. So remind me to throw those at you. That'll be fun at the end. So let's take a look at what's going on with the Dodgers right now. The standings should be up to date. I know it's probably not the best font for this presentation, but in essence, it looks like the Mets and Dodgers are the front runners in the National League. The Brewers were trying to fight off the Cardinals. Padres, you got to hand it to the Padres, even though the Dodgers just seem to have their number. You know, they've been without their best player all year, and they're still hanging. And I think we may hear from the Atlanta Braves before all is said and done. Any comments on the standings? Anything we should discuss here?
I mean, I just think this series with the Padres is huge, and the fact that the Lakers are, or I mean, the Dodgers, the Lakers, the Dodgers are starting to exert themselves, and you know, a few of the bats are coming alive is a good sign with other guys coming back. So this was a good time to get right for sure. Because if this went the other way, people would have started getting a little nervous.
Atlanta, we definitely are going to hear from them. That lineup is downright scary. That lineup from top to bottom is downright scary. There's a lot of firepower there. So we'll definitely hear from Atlanta.
I guess we're lucky we have Freddie Freeman, and we'll talk about that that controversy with his agent here before we're done. So this is just the key stats from the key players that I threw together. This is a few days old. I think it's representative, though. Trey Turner has been tearing it up. From what I understand, I don't have the data. I did not dig for the data, but I was told that he is doing really well from that leadoff spot. And Freddie's been tearing it up. Gavin Lux, something that we're bound to talk about here before we're done, batting eighth and ninth in this so-called, what do they call it, the second or third leadoff spot. You guys know what I'm referring to there?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's to me, and again, this is something that's probably coming from the data analytics upstairs, but I'm sorry, I don't get it. Mookie, and I think Mookie will be back this week, is my understanding. And Will this Smith, weekend. Is he the
yep, this weekend. He should be back, yep,
before yeah. the yeah, Colorado, yeah.
And Will Smith, is he the best hitting catcher in baseball? I don't. He seems like he must be at the top, near the top.
He is probably one of the, for the Dodgers anyway, he is probably one of their best clutch hitters. He is just right. absolutely clutch. He's Jock Peterson-esque sometimes when he comes up with those big home runs. I love it.
Yeah, and then Chris Taylor. I always loved Chris Taylor. Now, you look at these averages. So it's really interesting. I should have mentioned this at the top. Chris Taylor is batting .244. And I heard someone during the game yesterday, I was watching a little bit of it yesterday or the day before, and they mentioned, you know, it was someone, it might have been Taylor, someone, hey, he's only batting .245, .246. That's basically the league average at this point. You know, it used to be .246, and you're like, hey, this guy's going to get sent down. But now the league averages are so far down, so much down that, you know, Chris Taylor batting .244 really isn't that bad. But those bottom three, I don't know, Justin Turner starting to get it turned around a little bit, I guess. Any thoughts on these key guys or stats?
Yeah, I was just going to say it's interesting. This it always seems to be the way with the Dodgers is that there's a couple of guys who aren't performing in the at the beginning of the year or in the middle of the year, going to these extended slumps. And, you know, a couple of key guys, I mean, we've seen Bellinger now. He's been on the list for a couple of years in a row, and yeah. And then other guys step up and to kind of take the you know, take the pressure off Mookie. You know, had a horrible start and then just completely turned it around and not only with average but power and but he's, you know, 275, 273 is not his, you know, that's not the standard for Mookie, but yeah, it's interesting to see these. There's always a few guys that start slow or have a slow middle, and then we'll see what happens when they turn it around. But when we're talking about the lineup and the fact that Robert sticks with these guys in their spot, he might move them around from, you know, fourth to fifth or sixth or something like that. But in general, sticks with the guys and lets them play through it. And the fact that the team has so much depth to be able to do that is amazing. Obviously both on the fielding side as well as on the pitching side, to be able to stay in first place despite having, you know, Justin Turner and Cody Bellinger and Max Muncy all, you know, low 200s or worse. And it's really quite a testament to the depth of the roster.
Yeah,
what are you, Paul?
Yeah, one thing that sort of, you know, right off the bat is, so remember we had the lockout, so spring training was basically reduced significantly. So one of the things I wonder is, particularly when it came to the injuries to the pitchers, how much of that played into it, and not having the pitchers didn't have time to really get themselves, you know, work up to their normal, I guess, routine, and just getting themselves stretched out before the season started. So that's just one thing to keep in the back of our minds, right? How much did that play into it? Particularly for pitchers, that's very, very significant. Secondly, also for these hitters, right, getting into shape, all the different drills, you know, so spring training from baseball is not like it is in football, but, you know, it's still very, very important. So just to sort of like preface everything, I'm pretty sure that factored into the slow starts for some of the Dodger hitters, particularly someone like Justin Turner. Justin Turner, you see with that leg kick, he has a lot of moving parts in his swing. So, you know, I could see him starting to turn it around now. But, you know, the one thing that jumps out at me every time I watch the Dodgers is the scenario with Trey Turner and Mookie Betts. I know a lot of Dodger fans out there know what I'm referencing is, you know, Trey Turner's hit out of the number three spot for a large portion of his time with the Dodgers. And that's part of two reasons. When Mookie Betts first came over, they had him hit in the three, they had him hit in the two, they had him hit in the one, and he always had the most success at the one. So, you know, Mookie Betts being our prime time player, obviously you defer to that spot. However, Trey Turner, without question, is the best leadoff hitter in baseball. Okay, the kid won a batting title, led the league in stolen bases, right, hitting out of the top spot. So, you know, at some point they have to understand that Mookie Betts standing on second base, you know, and not being driven in is like an all too reoccurring theme. What they need to do is let Trey Turner stay at the top spot, let Mookie Betts hit second, and then let Freddie Freeman hit third. And I think the Dodgers will produce runs at a much more consistent rate, and they'll be much more potent in terms of their overall lineup. Right now, their middle of the order is not as intimidating when you take a look at other lineups, and for a lot of different reasons, right? You know, Justin Turner is still dangerous, but he's definitely a player in decline. Cody Bellinger is just a shell of his former self, and he's only 26. I always remind people that the kid's only 26 years old, so he's still got plenty of time to turn it around. And Max Muncy is still working his way back from that horrible injury. So I think that's one of the first things that they have to do. Freddie Freeman was a great signing, an absolutely perfect signing for the Dodgers. But I think him hitting out of the number three hole and then Mookie ahead of him, number one, the Dodgers have more speed on this roster. And as a Jackie Robinson fan, you see the smile on my face, right? They have more speed on this roster than ever before, particularly the starting lineup. Between, you know, you have Gavin Lux, you have Trey Turner, you have Mookie Betts, you have Chris Taylor. So they can blaze it up on the base paths. So they really need to take advantage of that. But the question for the Dodgers really is really who's going to be their primary RBI men coming out of the four and five slot. That's going to be the big deal. They have their top three, Turner, Betts, and Freeman, are as good as any three in baseball. No question about it. So, you know, I think the rest of their lineup, you know, Chris Taylor got a huge contract. He's getting $15 million a year. So he's not a utility guy anymore. So he's going to have to produce some runs as well. So there's going to be a lot more expected out of him. So basically the left field slot is his for the remainder of the season. So it's going to be an interesting, and I think the key to this lineup is really going to be Max Muncy's health. They definitely should not have him playing the field. I think they're absolutely nuts to have Muncy out there taking, playing over at second base and third base, because the most recent article I read was that his elbow is not going to be ready for a while. So he should be DHing full time, and they should not take a chance of him being out in the field and getting hurt again. But Muncy's really going to be the key to this lineup for the rest of the year, his health.
Yeah. Before we move on to looking at each roster group, I just want to mention Cody Bellinger. It's kind of a shame because, you know, you mentioned his speed. I mean, he is so fast, and I feel like he would have been – he's playing in the wrong era. If he was playing in the 80s, he'd be hitting doubles, triples up the alley, hitting balls to the left side and beating it out. But in this era, it's all about the home runs. And he still has a beautiful swing, but it's a big swing, right? And I don't know. I thought they had worked on him perhaps shortening his swing and just making contact more often, but just haven't seen it come to pass. So these are the starting pitchers. I think this is the current rotation. Of course, Walker Buehler is out. And Dustin May, he's been hurt all year. And dare I mention Trevor Bauer, who I guess is now an ex-Dodger. But any thoughts on this rotation? Gonsolin, I mean, I think he's actually 10-0 now, right? He won the other night. Pretty solid rotation, right?
Tom, you want to lead off?
Well, obviously, the issue here is Walker Buehler, right? I mean, he's out until September at the earliest. So that's a major blow, right? You're essentially your ace at this point in time is gone for the majority, you know, for the next couple of months at least. And you know, they're going to be very careful bringing him back. So, you know, I can almost see a, you know, back in, you know, with a start or two before the playoffs. And go from there. But but obviously Gonsolin and Anderson are the big surprises. Julio's had a up and down year, good ERA, a little bad luck here and there. But yeah, Buehler's the big loss. Kershaw seems to be throwing well. And then they're just going to have to go with some, find another guy or go with some, you know, go with some bullpen games and whatnot. They are getting a lot of, we'll get into some of the, I think some of the injuries and who's coming back to, you know, to bolster up this crew. But yeah, the Buehler loss is the big standout, but and on the loss side, and then Gonsolin and Anderson certainly stepping up were huge surprises.
Yeah. And the, you know, when you look at this rotation, and obviously losing Butane was huge, right? That kid is just, as the kids say, that kid is fire, right? But hopefully he'll come back this year. They also, you know, he got a bone spur removed also from his elbow recently. He had a small procedure because he has that flexor strain, which has him out until September. But in the interim, they also removed a bone spur from his elbow, which is interesting. They said it would not impact his return date, just to keep that in the back of our minds. But when you look at this rotation without him, how important was the Dodgers invested in their young players? You have the quiet assassin, Julio Urias, who is, you know, just, we like to call him the little ace, right? But, you know, and then now Gosselin, Catman, right? They were patient with him. He had sort of a up and down year last year, but now look at it. He's got great stuff. When you watch him pitch, his mix of pitches is as good as there is out there. And now he has the confidence, but more importantly, command. That's been the difference this year. He's been aggressive and he has the command. And look at those numbers. It's unbelievable. Look at that whip, 0.85. That is absolutely tremendous. Tyler Anderson has been an absolute revelation. You'll love that. And, you know, we have to have our obligatory lefty with the awkward delivery. Now that Alex Wood is gone, and there we go. We got Tyler Anderson, if you watch him pitch. Very reminiscent of Alex Wood with that awkward delivery. And then you got Clayton Kershaw. Now, Clayton Kershaw, if he can come back, and he, obviously if he's healthy and he can be consistent, he can help stabilize this rotation for the rest of the year. And that's going to be crucial. Obviously, you got Heaney as well. So if you look at the Dodger rotation right now, pretty interesting. Four lefties in the rotation. Very, very interesting. Dodgers always were a righty heavy pitching unit. This year, lefties. So I think Clayton Kershaw still has a lot left of the tank, and he's going to help stabilize this unit. Brian May, Brian May from the guitarist Queen, right? So Mayday is supposed to be back August or September. August is what they have him penciled in. So if he can come back, right? And if he can come back in time, think about that. What a boost it would be for this rotation, particularly if Butane's not coming back this year. So that's something to look forward to. Obviously, they can ease him back in. And if he's, you know, anywhere close to what he was previous years, it's going to be huge for the Dodgers. So keep our fingers crossed that Butane is back. But if not, May might be available to us as well.
Thoughts, Tom?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. Haney and May coming back. I mean, Haney has only had three starts, I think, something like that. And, you know, with his shoulder issues. And, but he, you know, his three starts, he has pitched well. And so if he can get healthy, we get May back, as Paul said, and we'll see what happens with Buehler. But yeah, we definitely need some reinforcements in that starting pitching rotation for sure. I mean, anything can happen these days with these pitchers, as we know. And to expect that Julio or Gonsolin, Anderson, and certainly Clayton are all going to continue to be healthy is, you know, that would be great. That's what we're all hoping for. But these guys typically, you know, go down at some point for some period of time. So just keep our fingers crossed.
Well, we'll get to the injuries here. We really covered this pretty much already. You know, Mookie's coming back very soon, probably this week. Dustin May, my understanding is he's getting closer, and he'll be a big addition to the starting lineup, starting rotation, right? Walker Buehler, we talked about him. Daniel Hudson, he just got hurt recently, right? So looks like he's out for the year. A couple other guys are also injured. I think we've talked enough about the injuries already. Let's move on to the starting rotation. Well, we talked about this as well. Pretty solid there. These are the relief pitchers. And again, we've already talked about this. Anything to add? You know, so what's the deal with David Price? I'm sorry, I'm out of the loop on this.
I think all of the Dodger Nation is out of the loop on David Price and how they utilize him, on whether or not he is going to be a factor. It's just so puzzling in terms of, you know, his utilization going back to last year. It just doesn't make sense. You know, they were desperate for a starter, for like a spot starter, and they didn't utilize him. And when they did, it was just sort of, you could just see they had like zero confidence in him. But, you know, the relief pitcher. So I think the Almonte was a good pickup. The kid from Colorado, he's pitched fairly well. I think I have, they call him Showtime. I got him down 19 innings, 1.37 ERA, not bad. Now, if you take a look at Bruzdar, he's been doing really, really well. He's been turning it around. I think between he and Kimbrel at the top, if they can become a consistent, formidable 1-2 punch, I think that's going to help the Dodgers tremendously. Evan Phillips has been a real find. Avecia is starting to turn it around. He's been a tough lefty, and they need another lefty. There's no question about it. Take a look at what you see on screen, right? They definitely need another tough lefty. The kid, Justin Brule, they've used him, but he's back down in the minors again. I like what I see with him. He's a big kid, shows a lot of moxie when he's out there. Victor Gonzalez, I think he had an elbow surgery. He's not due back until August. He was the other lefty. So Dodgers are short on lefties. That's what they need, some lefties coming out of the pen. But I think a Bruiser and Kimbrel, those two at the top have to become more consistent. And I think as the season moves on, I think they're going to get better. I think that's a nice combination. I think Bruiser is going to surprise a lot of people this year, particularly in the second half of the year, once he finds his rhythm. Once he learns that he doesn't have to throw at 99 miles an hour every pitch, and he learns how to actually, you know, outthink the batters, because he's got that devastating pitch, I think he's going to be super effective. He's a star in the making. But Mitch White's also been tough too. He's been their spot starter. They've called on him a really tough occasion. Did a great job last year in the playoffs too. So I like what I see in Mitch White. He's going to be a real, real weapon for them. Long relief, getting quality innings. The one thing that Dave Roberts has to do better, he cannot burn out his bullpen. He has to understand that he cannot burn out this bullpen as they try to solidify their rotation through all these injuries. And so that's going to be, you know, really the make or break for the Dodgers this season, is how this bullpen is able to hold up for the whole season. You know, they do have Ryan Pepia, and then Bobby Miller. Those are their two young prospects. Pepio has some command issues, and whether or not they're going to let him actually be a starter full time, because Dodger philosophy is hate base on balls, right? And he has a really high BB number. But I think I have him down for, he's averaging a strikeout an inning when he's with the Dodgers. So the kid's got some phenomenal stuff, and Bobby Miller just lights out. He just lights out. So whether this is his year or next year, I don't know whether they're going to call him up or not, but I think it would be great to see both these guys get an extended audition. I think when you can find young stars from within, particularly when it comes to pitching, that can put you over the top. So I think those two definitely deserve an extended look.
Yeah, a couple other guys we get back. Blake Treinen is a big missing piece. He's been a, you know, that key setup guy. Probably could have been the closer, or actually stepped in on a closer role a few times when Kenley was a little shaky. And so he's a big, you know, he had the shoulder issue, out for another month plus. We're not really sure when he's coming back, but that'll be a big addition to the top of that closing staff. And and maybe Caleb Ferguson. He'll be back soon. So there's a few guys, Tommy Conley, maybe a few guys that are, in the mix to come back and reinforce. But yeah, the David Price issue, he just went on leave again, I think, and they brought Brewer back up temporarily to take his to give Brewer another shot. But yeah, the David Price is just sort of this superstar, just sort of hanging around at the end of his career, it seems like. And he opted out during the COVID year, and it's just a weird situation there. But yeah, I think the relief pitching staff, there's a lot of guys. Bickford, we didn't mention. Shout out to Oaks Christian and my old hometown down there in Thousand Oaks, Newbury Park, where his family's from. Phil Bickford trivia for everybody. Do you know who Phil Bickford was traded for?
I do not know.
Will Smith. Did you know that?
No.
But not the Will Smith that we're talking about. It was the
pitcher?
The Atlanta pitcher, yeah. So,
okay.
I threw that to people. And they, oh my gosh, Will Smith. I didn't really know. Yeah, Phil, Giants traded for him and then they ultimately released him, and he was claimed off waivers by the Dodgers. And so
yeah, Trent and I glossed over him. He was, I'm sure he was listed on that injury page. I glossed over.
Trinan's interesting because what the injury update, they vary from week to week. So you'll have articles where they'll say he's out for the year. Then you have articles that saying, like the most recent one, he has resumed throwing at 120 feet. Yeah, so, okay, good.
I don't watch enough Dodger games, and I don't keep up on things. And there's been a couple of times where I saw Bickford on the mound, a shot from center field, and I go, oh, Dustin May's back. No, it's not Dustin May. I just miss the days when it was Tom Diedenfuhr and Steve Howe, and that's all you needed to talk about. The modern baseball, they got this whole stable of relievers that they can pull from, and it's hard to keep up on it. But, okay, let's move on to we got our infielders. We all know about these guys, obviously. The one guy that I think has really stepped up, Gavin Lux. We'll talk about him a little bit more at the end here. Muncy's struggling. The one thing the Dodgers have is a lot of flexibility, especially with Trey Turner and Gavin Lux can play multiple positions, as can Max Muncy. But pretty set on the infield there. Any thoughts?
I mean, Freddie Freeman is just a rock at first base, defensively and offensively. Unbelievable. Perfect signing for the Dodgers in every way. Fits Dodger Blue perfectly. Muncy, like I said, I mean, if what we're reading is correct about his elbow, I mean, they really should like somebody else. They really need to pick up somebody to handle some more of that playing time at their base. I mean, like, nothing that they have to go over the top with, but like a Brandon Drury or someone like that who could really give you some quality starts at third base and also give Justin Turner a break as well. Turner at DH would be very formidable. But, as for you were saying about Gavin Lux, I mean, this kid, listen, there was a lot expected of this kid. They said early on they weren't going to trade him. He was their top prospect. They wanted him in the organization. They gave him a shot at second base. He's been rock solid in the field. And to your point about where he's hitting in the lineup, think about how valuable it is. You know, when before the DH, right, it was flip that lineup, right? Get the pitcher out, right? Get it to back to the top of the lineup. If you can get that hit so that the pitcher spot is out of the order for and not leading off the next inning, that was a big deal. But now with the DH, you have to have a table setter at the bottom of the lineup. So that's where Gavin Lux has been really, really formidable.
So you're okay with him batting at the bottom?
Absolutely, absolutely. So if you look at his slugging numbers are down. There's no question about it. I think he's like 398 or something like that with the slug. But his average is rock solid. He's getting on base. He's got a great clip when it comes to his OBP. So what that means is he's getting on base. He's clogging up those base paths. Listen, when you get runners on base, and you force those pitchers to pitch from the stretch, it makes a big deal. Really does. And that's the part of the ins and outs of baseball that sometimes people overlook. So your point in the beginning at the top of the segment was spot on. Having him down there is really, really more valuable than people realize. And listen, he's a quality kid. They love him in the clubhouse. Every sports center shot is of Gavin Lux doing something that's got somebody in the lineup cracking up or something like that. He keeps it loose. He's like Kike. He reminds me a lot of Kike. Now, the Kike, we should have still had him here, but that's an aside I'll talk about later. Kike should have been a Dodger for the rest of his career, but he's like Kike. He keeps the clubhouse loose. So does Hanser Alberto. That's his major contribution because Alberto can't hit a lick. But he's a utility guy. We also have Kevin Pillar, too. As an outfielder who has like a very similar role as a utility role, but also a quality clubhouse presence. So I like this group. I definitely think they need to pick up somebody, like I said, like Brandon Drury, who can help out at third base a little bit more. They have a young prospect we'll talk about probably later. But I definitely see that, Muncy's what I'm always worried about is him playing the field. Because every time he plays the field, he winds up getting hurt. So you need to save him from himself sometimes until he's fully healthy.
Anything to add, Tom?
Yeah, the loss of Rios was a big blow, I think, earlier on that third base spot. Just because, like you said, Muncy and Turner both have already been mentioned in this podcast as great candidates for full-time DH. We obviously can't do that. Not only that, but that's not the Dodger way, right? The Dodgers are set up to rotate guys, have guys like Lux and Muncy who are very flexible in where they play, infield, outfield, that role that, you're talking about Kike and Chris Taylor have played historically. And then get in with the DH now, the National League, the ability to give those guys a day off but still hit. They used to get them a day off and then they'd pinch hit. That was more typical. And so there's any talk of a full-time DH is not something I believe that this team wants to do. So I think Max is going to have to continue to play in the infield. Justin Turner's going to need to get spelled. And, to your point, Paul, who's going to do it? And so I think I agree. I think bringing in another utility infielder / third baseman would be a big help.
And Rios, according to the most recent update, he's out until after the All-Star break. They have confirmed grade 3 or 4 hamstring tear.
Yeah.
That's a massive power loss right there.
Yeah. And that third, then, to your point, that third base, that third base spelling for, Turner. So
on to the outfielders, the Dodgers were able to pick up Trace Thompson, bring him back. He's already contributed some. Buddy Bellinger, Mookie's not listed here. Obviously, he'll be back on the field pretty quick. This was captured a few days ago, so I didn't include Mookie. But moving forward, obviously, he's the centerpiece of that outfield. Chris Taylor and Cody will be rounding out the outfield for the most part, I assume, through the rest of the season, barring injury. And then I like our catchers, Will Smith and Austin Barnes, really complement each other. I see sometimes they put Barnes at catcher and Will Smith as a DH. I assume that's a pattern against left-handed pitching. So like our catchers, outfielders, the starting three are pretty darn good as long as Cody eventually picks it up, right?
Yeah, he such an enigma. He started off this season well, and he was, he's back, and he's given us a few of those glimpses over the last couple of years ever since he fell off. That, I think he's back, and they worked with him all off season. Here he is, and then next thing you know. So, going back to a football reference, right, just because this is the Rams Up podcast, it reminds me of what teams' defenses did, and Belichick in particular did, to take away, sort of half the playbook of of McVay's playbook when Goff was in there. And certainly when once Gurley went down and the play action wasn't as big of a threat anymore. It's similar to what I feel like with Bellinger. I feel like they can work on some things and work on a pitch that, you know, that the other teams were consistently getting him out on, and he could go to that, and he could start to make, you know, hit that pitch, and things look great. And then, but unfortunately, there's just too many holes in that huge swing of his to get to. Once it starts, it's hard to adjust. And so, in other words, other pitching coaches and pitchers can just come up with another pitch that he just can't adjust to, and right. Or it takes him too long to adjust to. So I feel like there's just too many holes in that swing of his that people can pick apart. So, but it's nice to see guys like, you know, Alvarez, Lamb, Thompson being able to come in and pitch in. And the Dodgers are very good at that, picking up very good players and making them part-time players to fill the gaps as needed.
Let's see. I tried to capture – I just went to a couple of websites, tried to find a list of the top Dodger prospects. And I don't know if we'll be seeing any of these guys this season. Bobby Miller is a guy – you mentioned him already, didn't you, Paul?
Yeah, I love that kid. What's interesting, most recently read something on him on Dodger Blue that he just got introduced to analytics. So talk about, you know, interesting. So he was raving about this concept of analytics, and they're trying to get him to understand how hitters are attacking him and how he should attack pitchers. So here's a kid with all this natural talent, and now that the mental aspect of the game is being introduced to him, and it's, you know, this is what it's all about. This is all about player development. That article, if it highlights anything to these young players out there, is about this concept of player development, expanding the various aspects of your game. And he's just being introduced to that. And this kid just has all the natural talent in the world. So, yeah, and Michael Bush is just hitting the snot out of the ball. Miguel Vargas as well. Miguel Vargas is considered to be the best pure hitter the Dodgers have right now. That's close to MLB ready. So, interestingly enough, they have him listed as a third baseman. He has some deficiencies in the field, but would love to see his young bat in the lineup sometime just to get some seasoning. The kid's, you know, looks like he's ready to play. How much more is he going to learn down there in AAA? Bring him up, let him get his hacks, because the kid can hit. He looks like a young Pedro Guerrero out there, the way he hits and the way he can't play third base. So, right? So,
that's right.
Bush also, a pretty high regarded prospect. They remind people of Max Muncy. He can hit the snot out of the ball. Where exactly do you play him defensively? That's been the thing, right? Second base, first base. And any of these guys, normally you would put them at first base. Freddie Freeman's not coming off first base anytime soon. We all know that. So that's going to be the quandary for the Dodgers. Some DH action, maybe. I don't know. Maybe some reps at second, some third, whatever it may be. But these two young kids can hit. And then Ryan Pepiot also. He and Miller together, like I said, could really booster the rotation. And whether they use Pepio as a reliever or as a starter, probably more as a reliever. I mean, the kid's pitch mix, if he was allowed to go out there for an inning or two innings, right, and just gas it up, and he's got a nice fastball changeup, and there are people who have built their whole career around that. Their two best pitches being a fastball and a changeup. So I think he's tailor-made for that one inning, two inning slot until he gets a little bit more seasoning and maybe enter the rotation. But I would love to see Bobby Miller get a shot.
Yeah, and don't forget about our number one, Cartaya. And yeah. You know, but that he's probably ready, maybe even has been for a year. But there's no room there. And I think he's a prime. The prime trade prospect for the Dodgers, and to go after somebody, they love to make that big move mid-year too for the push, right? When you're in the window like the Dodgers are, you gotta kind of push some chips in, and like they did last year with Scherzer and whatnot. So They always seem to do it, and they're not afraid to trade away some of these young guys to go for it. And I love that. You know, there's when you're in the window, you know, only a World Series championship will do. So
right.
go get pieces, and obviously we're covered at catcher. It's not like we're you know, maybe if we're talking about a third baseman or something like that, a different position group. But at catcher, we're covered with Will Smith for years to come. And that guy's a prime prospect, and I expect them to trade him before the end of the year for something significant.
And remember, just recently, Mookie went out publicly. He said Barnes should wear the C. Don't you think that's interesting, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he's not even the starting catcher. And think about that. That's the value of that guy in the clubhouse, that your best player is saying, this guy right here, he needs to wear the C.
Yeah, well, historically, I mean, this could be actually a fun little exercise at some point in time. But backup catchers are historically, you know, some of the smartest guys on the team. They don't get a lot of play time, but they have to be extremely knowledgeable about every other player, every other, you know, all pitchers, and they have enough time on their hands to help the team in all of the different ways that they do. And a lot of those guys go on to become managers and. You know, backup catchers. Look, it's a long list of backup catchers who have been great managers.
And look for the Dodgers. So they've always had those guys. So you got from that combination of Yeager and Socha. Then you had, remember when Rick Dempsey came in and he was putting in those.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So, yeah, absolutely. So I love that. I love that aspect of it to have that. But yeah, Cartaya. And remember the trade piece last year was Ruiz. One of our top catching prospects. They had two. They chose to keep Diego. So it's interesting. I think they might hold on to him. I think this kid is, you know who they compare him to? Pablo Sandoval.
Wow. He's
one of my favorite players, right? They compare him to Pablo Sandoval. I think they're going to hold on to this kid.
You can only hold on to a guy so long in the minors though. I mean, with what are they going to do with, you know, bring him up? I don't know.
We'll see. We got plenty of chips to play with this time.
Yeah,
I got my fearsome four questions for you if you're ready. Before I start, I think what we all agree on is the Dodgers need to square away that middle bottom half of their order. Those three guys got to start hitting, start carrying more of the load. They need Walker Buehler back for the playoffs. That'll be a big addition. Other than that, I think they're in really good shape. I got a lot of guys stepping up, Trey Turner, Freddie Freeman, Gavin Lux. So let's get on to my fearsome four questions, and I'll let you each take turns answering these. And I think, Paul, you already answered one of them. Who bats leadoff when Mookie comes back? And I know, well, we already know your answer.
T-squared.
Right. And how, do you agree, Tom?
Yeah, I agree. I don't know if the Dodgers will do it. I think that, you know, this is something that, you know, Mookie, I think they'll go to Mookie and ask him. And I think he would say absolutely. And he'll bat anywhere. I mean, that's the kind of team player he is. So I think they will keep Trey at the leadoff spot. But, you know, the big question is, you know, Trey is a free agent next year. And a lot of people think he's not coming back. There's a lot of talk about the fact that he is a, you know, East Coast guy through and through with his family and so forth. And he's always kind of wanted to get back there from day one. Not sure they're going to bring him back or that he wants to come back. Obviously, they want him back. But I don't know how much that plays into it. You know, we talked about Mookie being the you know, the backbone of this team going forward. And I don't know. That kind of plays into it in the back of my mind. Having said that, I think that, he will, you know, he'll say, I'll bat anywhere, and they'll leave Trey up top.
Think of how many fastballs Mookie's going to see with Trey Turner standing on first base. Think about that. Mookie's going to win a batting title this year if that happens.
Okay, for some question number two, and some of you may have already answered this as well. Who are the two Dodgers that they need to move away from next year? Who are the two Dodgers they need to put in their rearview mirror?
I mean, I will say it. I know it's not going to be popular, I know I'm going to get a lot of angry emails and text messages and Twitter posts, but they got to move away from our buddy. They got to move away from Kershaw and they got to move away from Turner. There's just no way around it. There's just no way around it. That's all.
Did you say Turner and Kershaw?
Turner and Kershaw. They have to.
Kershaw, I wasn't expecting Kershaw.
Kershaw, listen, look, his injury history speaks for itself. Listen, it's and a lot of the great pitchers in the latter part in the twilight of their career, that's been the scenario. But the amount of money, not that money is an issue for the Dodgers, we know that. However, I think it's time to go out and bring in some guys that can give you a solid season or that are a little bit more reliable in terms of the injury history. Turner, same thing. I mean, it also goes, you know, in terms of the role on the team. So here's the thing. How do you move from having such a prominent role to a diminished role? And that's, you know, if they can do that in a way for both players, you know, I think it'd be great. You know, I thought they were going to do that with Justin Turner this year. It hasn't happened, and largely because of the injuries. But yeah, I think at some point they're going to have to move on.
Yeah,
and Tom.
Yeah, you know, with respect to Kershaw, I mean, he's on a 1 year deal. I think this year it's you know, 15, 17 or something like that. It's pretty, you know, I think he's. After getting that World Series win, I think he's just, you know, sort of going to play it out. I don't think he might end up, you know, going back to the Rangers or something to play near his house or, you know, for a couple of years, like a lot of these guys do, and just be home more. But I think he can stick around, and he's clearly, you know, sort of this elder statesman leader. He's the guy that spoke up against Freddie Freeman. And, so I can see him sticking around on a year by year basis, and then at some point, kind of having a couple of years in Texas just to draw some fans out there, and then come back for a, you know, 1 day contract or whatever they do, so he can retire a Dodger, something like that. But I don't think Kershaw's the guy. He's not costing very much, and he's means so much to the team, and he can still pitch a little bit. So I think, but I do agree with the Justin Turner. It is time to move on. He is clearly in decline. And then the other guy I would say is Cody Bellinger. I mean, we can't have a center fielder hitting 220. And no matter how good he is defensively, there's a lot of very good defensive center fielders. And they can hit, you know, 260 or 280 and so forth. So I see that I can see the Dodgers moving on from Justin Turner and Cody Bellinger.
Bellinger's on a 1 year deal too, $17 million.
Yeah.
And I'm surprised neither of you mentioned Max Muncy. That would have been he would have been top of my list, but okay. Fearsome question number four. Will Trey Turner be a Dodger next year?
I think I answered that one already. I'll let you go, Paul.
So here's the thing. Turner's making $21 million now. That's the issue. He's making $21 million now. How much higher are you going to go to keep him on the squad? So if you think about it, so defensively, regardless of the offensive part of it, with Taylor, Bellinger, and Betts, I mean, you could argue that's one of the top defensive outfields in baseball. No question about it. Now you got Freeman, Lux, Turner, and whoever our third baseman turns out to be. Let's say it's Turner for now, right? So if you think about that, that's a rock solid infield as well. So the thing is, you know, I love Turner. The issue is, you know, and the Dodgers, and this is more of an internal discussion, is are they going to utilize Turner the way that it maximizes his skill set offensively? You're starting to see a little bit of the frustration on his face too, and in his play and his body language. You know, I don't know if you saw the exchange he had with a reporter about, remember that game where he misread a double. Freddie Freeman, I think, hit a double and he misread it and he wound up only at second base. So the key is, if he's not that type of player that they feel is going to fit into their system moving forward, then they need to move on from now. Interestingly, the one player that I love, the reunion that would get Mookie Betts supercharged, not that he needs to get to, Xander Bogaerts. Think about that. Let's talk shortstop action for a little bit. What about this? So you got TT, right? He's in the last year of his deal. Bogaerts technically is in the last year of his deal, even though he's signed to 2025. He's allowed to opt out. Now, the only downside to this is Bogaerts is a Boros client, and we know how the Dodgers feel about Scott Boras. So, however, you never know. For rental for the rest of this year, that trade makes sense. If they know they're not going to stick with Turner moving forward, go get Bogaerts. Put him in there. That kid can hit in three slot, four slot, wherever you want to put him. He will carry your lineup. And think about all the guys in front of him. Freeman, Bett, Turner won't be there. But think about your 1-3. That's just mind-boggling. So I personally think the issue is going to be is how much more can you possibly give Turner if you're not going to be able to utilize him the way, like, legitimately, every year, annual, batting title, competitor, that type of thing. So, you know, it's leading the league in stolen bases, leading the league in on-base percentage, that type of thing. If you're not going to utilize him that way, then don't sign him, because it's not going to work. And it hasn't worked. It hasn't really worked. So, but the Xander Bogaerts thing has always been on my mind, thinking if they did that swap for the rest of the year, like they've done before as a rental, and then work on, you know, you might want to sign him. You might want to sign him and keep him at short. The kid, I think he's only 29. He might be 28, I think, 28 or 29. So to get him for an extension would be a great deal for the Dodgers. And the Dodgers have to learn something, a valuable lesson from that pitcher, which I will not name. They overlooked character concerns, and did it come back to bite them? It bit them hard, and it destroyed the season. I don't care what anybody says. It destroyed the Dodgers season. And now is a chance, if you can get a character guy or whoever that may be, Brian Reynolds from Pittsburgh is also available. You're talking about Cody Bellinger. You're going to move on from Bellinger? Go get that kid from Pittsburgh, Brian Reynolds. That kid can play, all right? That kid's his fourth year in the league. That's what the Dodgers do best, right? Know your personnel. Don't wait. Make the moves now. Build your team. Be the best. The Dodgers are the best team in baseball. They are America's team. That's what they need to do. They need to decide. If they're going to move on from Bellinger, go get Reynolds. If they're going to move on from Turner, go get Bogaerts.
Tom, you had said earlier that you thought they'd re-sign Turner.
I thought they would not. Yeah, definitely would not.
They let him go. Okay.
Yeah. He doesn't want to be there. Or, you know, he wants to go back to the East Coast. He's going to get paid. I mean, look what Seager got. You know, Seager got, I think, 10 years, 325, something like that. Trey Turner is going to get paid, and he's going to get paid big. And as Paul mentioned, is that if the Dodgers aren't going to use him in the way that he's, most valuable, then it doesn't make sense for either side. The Dodgers didn't want to give Cody that bag, and I don't think they're gonna want to give Trey the bag. And I think he wants to leave. I think both sides are feeling like this isn't going to work, and they both know it. And it will be interesting to see what they do there. They go to Lux. You know, this is natural position. We'll see.
And we need to save our money for Aaron Judge.
That's right.
Yeah. Now, where is Turner from originally? Do we know? Do either of you know? Is he? You say he's an East Coast guy.
Yeah, I know his whole family's out there. I mean, there was a lot of talk about that when he first got traded to the Dodgers, that was the. You know, that was the talk. So I think he's an East Coast guy through and through. We'd have to look up the hometown.
And sometimes that's overlooked, how badly players want to get back home where they're comfortable. And
that's Beach, a powerful Florida. Force. His hometown is Boynton Beach, Florida. So
there you go.
There you go.
Okay, my fearsome question number four, this is a little bit more of a fun one. Who is your favorite Dodger announcer not named Scully?
Ooh. Now,
I'm going to throw some names out there because, you know, I didn't give you any time to prepare for this, but some names to consider. Two names that I would consider would be going way back. I don't know if you guys remember Jerry Doggett, who was awkwardly excellent. Ross Porter, who was kind of the opposite of Jerry Doggett, right? He was like formulaic, but spot on, always on, just tons of information. Then there's the more guys that I call color commentators, Rick Monday, Oral Hershiser, Eric Karros, and then, of course, Charlie Steiner. Who wants to go first here?
Tom, go ahead.
Now you go. You go ahead.
I personally love Rick Monday. Rick Monday is my guy. I love Rick Monday. I think he does a great job. I also like Davis. I think he does a really good. Who's he paired with now? I think they got him with D-Train, right? With Willis, right? They have him paired. I think he does a great job. Those two together would be amazing. Monday's got all the stories. That's what cracks me up. Rick Monday's got a story for every scenario that happens in baseball, no matter what's happening. But Monday would be my favorite. I would say Rick Monday's my guy.
How about you, Tom?
Yeah, I mean, I got to give a shout out to, the Spanish Vin Scully, Jaime. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Obviously didn't listen to him much because I'm not fluent in Spanish, but I really like Oral in there. A lot of people don't like him, I like him, but I would have to say, just going back to the days, Jerry Doggett and Ross Porter. I mean, they were the guys and that were there forever. And that's who I grew up with. So, those are the guys I like a lot.
Yeah, I like those guys too. And I'm going to throw in, I'm a little biased here because I pinged my brother, who is the biggest Dodger fan I know. And he said he loves Eric Karros. So I'm going to echo that. Just tons of information as well. And, I'm going to make.
Don't overlook Nomar. Don't overlook Nomar. Right, right. Great. I love when Nomar is in there.
But the one thing I will say about Dodger announcers that I really appreciate is especially, the main guys, Rick Monday, Vin Scully, Jerry Doggett, Ross Porter, all those guys, they are so fair and so balanced. And they never really are derogatory towards the other team. They call out great plays. They call out bad calls that go the Dodgers' way. That's my perspective, and that's what I've seen. And then I listen to a Padre or Giant broadcast, and it can be entirely different sometimes. You can just sense, they're homers. I guess that's what I'm saying. I don't think the Dodger announcers are necessarily homers, at least compared to the other broadcasts that I've listened to.
I will say this about Oral, and I will shout out Oral. Oral is clearly a Dodger fan when he does a Dodger game. That's the way it should be. And that's the way it should be. So I will say this about Oral. Shout out to Oral. He is clearly a Dodger fan when he's doing a Dodger.
I don't think I've heard him as much as the others. I mean, I grew up with, like Tom probably did too, Vin Scully and Jerry Doggett. And they were such a pair. They were classic. And then Ross Porter.
Here's a follow-up to your fearsome 4.5, I guess we'll say, is, which current Dodger would make the best announcer?
Which current Dodger?
Yeah, would make the best announcer after his career's over.
I don't know about, who has the best voice and is the most articulate, but I'm going to guess Austin Barnes based on the conversation you guys had already about him.
I'm going to go with, hold on. I'm going to go with, oh, I know who I'm going to go with. I'm going to go with Max Muncy.
And the more I think about it, I've heard Clayton Kershaw interviewed, and he is very articulate. So he would probably be a good choice too.
You know who I used to love because he was one of my favorite pitchers when he was with the Dodgers, but I don't know what happened. Jerry Royce. When Jerry Royce used to do the game.
Oh, right.
I was a big Jerry Royce fan.
It's funny you mentioned him because in preparation for this, I mentioned that National League Championship Series game I went to in 1974. against the Pirates. You know who the losing pitcher was for the Pirates? It was Jerry Royce.
It was Jerry Royce. Right.
That was his pre-Dodger days. You had an answer in mind, I assume, already, Tom.
Oh, I didn't. I just thought of it as we were talking, because we were talking about a lot of Dodger players and so forth. I'm not sure a lot of people could have predicted Oral would be as good as he was. You know, a lot of these guys, you know, he's sort of this, more of a state guy. I don't know. I was just looking at the, I think Justin Turner, I'm going to say.
Oh, yeah.
I'll bet you he would be, he always has a big smile on his face. He has a lot of energy. Obviously, he's a smart guy. He's been through a lot. And obviously the beginning of his career was, you know, the down years of the Mets and whatnot, and then came back and became an all-star and a World Series champion. And he just seems like a fun guy who's smart, affable, and would really connect with an audience. That would be my pick.
The Kiki Hernandez is really the answer to the question. Kiki is destined for the booth. That kid in the booth, I'm telling you, ratings would go through the roof.
He's bilingual. He connects with the huge baseball Latino audience. That'd be great.
Yeah, and he's an old school ball player. That's what I loved about him. That's what he is. He's just a ball player, right?
And Mookie would be great in the booth as well. Mookie would be phenomenal his personality in the booth would be great.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, I love that. That's a great pick.
Okay, any last thoughts? I'll let you go first, Paul. How you think the season's going to play out, who they might face in the playoffs, how's the story going to end, the 2022 Los Angeles Dodgers?
I think, with all the injuries and everything else, the Dodgers have to be patient. If you look at the standings, right, and you shouldn't go just by the standings, but, this team is just beginning, just scratching the surface of their ability. I think they're a rock-solid squad. What I do like about this season, and if you remember when they got Mookie Betts in spring training, he called out the team. He said the atmosphere at spring training was not conducive to winning a championship, and they turned it around. They were a much more aggressive, dialed-in team in the beginning of this season, right? That was Mookie Betts. The beginning of this season, Roberts went on record. He said, we're going to win the World Series, right? And I think that was a good thing. I think he needs to set the bar for himself. He needs to set the bar for this team. They should not have lost to Atlanta last year, in my opinion. I think on paper, and that's the bottom line, it's not about paper. You got to play up to your ability. They played down to their competition way too often last year. Same way when they got eliminated by the Nationals. No disrespect to either team. I think both those years were just, years that Dodgers should have been playing in the World Series. So having said that, I think if they're patient, see how their injuries play out. My fingers are crossed that we get Butane back and Trinan back, right? I think, obviously that'll for the stretch run. But if they're patient, they have enough depth on the roster and they have enough in the minor leagues that they can get through it, but they also have enough they can make a deal or two and get this and tweak this roster and rotation and lineup, whatever it may be. They definitely need to bring in another Thunderbat to get this lineup a little bit more balanced, which I think they can do. There are a lot of DH types out there that they can do if they're not going to go full time with Muncy or someone else or do a platoon scenario. But I think when it's all said and done, the smoke clears, they'll be where they belong. They'll be playing in the World Series.
And how much fun will it be for you if they have to go through the Mets and then the Yankees?
Oh, that would be – are you kidding me? I would be jumping up and down.
And, Tom, how do you feel? Any thoughts on the remainder of the season and how it's going to end up?
Yeah, I mean, if at the beginning of the season you had asked us – If given the injuries to Bueller and Kershaw and all these other guys, as well as the and also that Bellinger and Justin Turner and Max Muncy would be hitting low 200s, high 100s, and Mookie would have the start that he had, and if you had lined all that, we'd be shaking our heads and. oh boy, it's going to be, you know, the Giants and the Padres ahead of us. We're going to be playing, but, you know, 4.5 games up, given everything that's happened, with a lot of these guys coming back, not all of them, but, and you get guys that weren't even in there that haven't played this year, guys like Dustin May and Victor Gonzalez, you know, not to mention the guys that you already said that that were hurt this year and are coming back. So there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of optimism, especially around that pitching staff coming off of coming guys coming back from injury. And then, but the key thing is going to be, can these guys, can these, you know, these core players for the Dodgers, that Roberts has no, has shown no signs of benching at all, who are batting, you know, if those guys don't start hitting, and they keep, then they stay in the lineup. I mean, you know, they're batting 220 high one, what is Muncy's in the high 100, against, you know, the league, against a regular season pitching staffs. And we all know what happens in the playoffs. I mean, they're going to be in the playoffs. That's no question. The question is that, you know, when, and that's what's happened the last few years when they've been bounced, is that they go up against great pitching and they don't hit. So something's got to give. I don't know what they're going to do. But one way or another, those guys either got to start hitting or we got to bring some guys in that can, because there's no way with those three guys in the lineup that and not performing in the playoffs that this team's going to win the World Series.
And look at what Atlanta did at the deadline. They lost Acuna, and look what they did at the deadline. They got Rosario, Soler, Peterson, and Duvall. They changed their entire lineup, and they got guys that were what? Clutch. They said, we will win in a clutch situation compared to other teams. And that's exactly what happened. There were too many times, again, in that Atlanta series when the Dodgers did not deliver in the clutch on both sides of the ball, pitching and hitting. That dynamic can't happen again. That has to change. The Dodgers are way too talented, and these guys are way too seasoned. These are veteran guys. So it's one thing to, you know, and Jock Peterson is a great example. His numbers in the regular season are pedestrian. But when you put him in the playoffs in those clutch situations, the kid delivers. And that's really what has to happen. I think, Tom, you're spot on, is that the Dodger leaders have to play like leaders when it's crunch time. It's been too many times we made excuses for them. And that, you know, at this point, you know, the Dodgers have built their roster to the point that they have enough talent on that roster that we know that we're saying that we're going to get into the playoffs, right? We know that part. Now the next part of that equation is when we're there, we can't be the ones that are coming up short in clutch situations. That can't happen.
Right.
That can't happen. It's just the bottom line.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. I'm hoping the Giants don't make it into the playoffs. They still have a chance. They're kind of hanging there right behind the Padres. I'll be happy to see the Cardinals not get into the playoffs. It'll probably come down to the Dodgers and Mets and maybe the Braves, right? And I haven't looked closely at how those matchups would go down. That's something we'll have to look at a little closer, maybe another episode, when it's maybe we have a clearer picture of who these, what these matchups might be. And the Padres could be in there too, right? If the Padres win that wild card game, they'd very likely just roll right in and play the Dodgers, right? Which should be in the Dodgers' favor. They've dominated them. I saw a stat this year that the Dodgers have won the season series against the Padres. This would be the 12th year in a row. So I know that I live amongst many Padre fans, and their hatred of the Dodgers is just like so obvious. It just, you know, it's pretty funny because
Garvey finished out his career at San Diego. Remember?
Yeah. Right. And I don't think Dodger fans really feel that way about the Padres. They're just another team. But Padre fans, man, they just would love to knock us out of the playoffs one year.
I will say this, though. It has always hurt me that Socha, Baker have never coached the Dodgers.
Yeah, I know.
It's always, you know, you think about some of the ex-players we've had. Those guys have never had a shot to coach the Dodgers, and they would be perfect.
Yeah, and Dusty Baker, you know, if you'd asked me who my favorite Dodger was of Dusty all time, Baker,
yeah.
Well, number one would probably be Billy Buckner. But Dusty Baker would be a close second or third.
And
Paul, we don't need to ask you who your favorite Dodger is of all time.
Jack, well, I did like, I would say Fernando, Reggie Smith was one of my favorites. I love Reggie.
Oh, yeah, right.
You know, Reggie, talking about trivia, you guys were throwing out trivia thing. He was the guy that they caused the brawl. Steve Garvey got mad. I think I forgot who it was when I think Steve Garvey was getting too much press. And Don Sutton. Don said that Reggie Smith is the heartbeat of our team, not Steve Garvey. And it was against the Mets. That's why I remember.
It was in New York.
It was in New York, right. And they got into a fight in the dugout. And I remember that to this day.
And Don Sutton had a tearful apology that he couldn't believe it happened. And yeah, Steve Garvey was kind of like the Kurt Warner of the day. You know, his wife was a little bit too much in the limelight to some people's liking. He was just too perfect in a lot of ways. I had no problem with Kurt Warner or Steve Garvey, but I think some people did. It just rubbed people a little wrong. For whatever reason,
and the Penguin, Ron Say, is one of my favorite players.
Those are the four, right, that had the 30 home runs: Baker, Say, Garvey, and Reggie Smith. I think that the four.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, hey, well, this has been fun. I think we've pretty much covered everything. I don't know if we'll have time for another Dodger episode. Training camp rolling in and then the preseason, but we'll try to do something maybe before the playoffs, that's a done deal, right? The Dodgers will be in the playoffs, knock wood, but we'll do it again if you guys are up to it. And I'd like to have you guys back. We'll do another Dodger, another Ram episode, maybe in the middle of training camp, after training camp, see what any of us have learned. You guys up for that?
Absolutely.
Okay, thanks a lot for your time. I'll let you get back to your July 4th festivities, and I'm out of here. See you guys next time.
All right, have a great one.
Bye bye.
Rams
up. Fourth.
All right, bye. That's going to do it for this episode. Remember, you can reach us at ramsuppodcast@gmail.com. You can visit our website at ramsup.com. Find links to all of our episodes and a link to our YouTube channel. And you can also leave us a voicemail from our website. Don't forget to subscribe and give us that 5-star rating. It's really appreciated. And remember, keep the horns up, stay safe, and have fun out there.
Music courtesy of bensound.com and the YouTube royalty-free music audio library. Crimson Fly by Humma Humma.